We want to hear you, man, for posterity. So don't mess up.
I'll try. If I don't, it'll be a first. Enjoyed the meeting up to this point, and I was warned of this last night during supper because of the constraints and what have you, that I was going to be asked to come first this morning. That doesn't make for a good night's sleep, but be that as it may, subject on my mind is our relationship with Christ. Why it is what it is. And maybe try to figure out a little bit about just what is our relationship with Christ. And it may seem like a strange place to start, but I want to start in the sixth chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. And this is a scripture that Jesus quoted in the, was recorded in the, I think, the 12th chapter of Mark. And I might go to that if I might be able to cover without having to go over and read the repeating of this particular scripture. Sixth chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, that thou and thy son and thy son's son all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel. Now this is the verse that I want to get to. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now the Bible tells me in another place that there are God's many and there are Lord's many. There's only one true and living God, and that is this one Lord. Another place he tells them, said, I am the Lord thy God, this is my name. I am the Lord. He doesn't say a Lord, he says the Lord. It makes a difference. I'm glad I've only got 30 minutes this morning. You may think, well, you've got as long as you need. I probably might not need 30 minutes. In the days of Jesus, when he was, Jesus contended with Israel. He contended with the Jews. He disputed with them. Right. He argued with them. Right. The Apostle Paul argued with them. So people this day and time, they want to hear a preacher preach smooth things, and don't ever dare to argue with anybody. Right. We have ample evidence in the Scripture that this is a valid way to get your point across.
Right.
Is to argue your point.
Yeah.
But you got to have sound arguments.
Right.
Our argument starts with, I am the Lord thy God. There, the Lord thy God is one Lord. That's where we got to start. Amen. We want to understand the relationship between us and Jesus Christ. We've got to start there. We've got to understand that the Lord is one. Now, what about the Son and the Holy Ghost? The Bible tells me that these three are one. So we don't, you can't knock my argument down by saying, there's three there. Well, Jesus let people know that I and my Father are one. And when you call the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, you understand that that's God also. Now, this is important for us to understand just where we stand with Christ if we understand a little bit about just who this Lord is. What about him that makes him one Lord? Let's go to the book of Colossians right quick, just to pick up a scripture that the Apostle Paul made very clear. concerning Jesus Christ. He says, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist."
Amen.
And he's speaking about the man, Jesus Christ. He's also speaking about the Lord, our God, is one Lord.
Yes.
Now, we sing that song, "Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me," and all the things that the song spells out. And we need to understand how it is that this compassion that the Lord has for us, how it relates to our relationship, if you will, with Jesus Christ. What's our status with Jesus Christ? Well, in order to find out a little bit more about what our status with Jesus Christ is, well, it's going to be necessary for me to go to the book of Ephesians. First chapter, begin with the third verse. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." See, Paul equates Christ with the Lord our God is one Lord.
Right.
He doesn't say Jehovah is a Lord and Jesus is a Lord. They are the Lord.
Right.
They both together are the Lord. Now, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him." That sort of tells me where we are.
Amen, right?
We are in him. We don't listen to the sound of the gospel and decide we want to get in him.
Yeah, amen.
We are in him, whether we like it or not. I've got some joint problems, nerve problems that apparently don't like the idea that they're part of this body, because they're striving every way they can to make the rest of my body miserable. But they're still part of my body.
That's right.
Now, these that are in Christ Jesus, they may not like being there. I mean, we've got God's people that just, they can't get their humility down to a point to where they will come and recognize in a congregational sense here in time that they are a part of the body of Christ. You know, that's important.
Amen.
That we recognize that we are the body of Christ.
Right.
Because we are chosen in Christ. We weren't chosen to get in Christ, but, you know, chosen in Christ. And that makes it sure.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
If he chose us, that's what, if anybody here don't quite understand the definition of the term elect or election, that is a choosing out of individuals to extract them from their current environment and place them in another environment.
Right.
That's what election does. And our environment was a death in trespasses and in sin. And he picked us in Christ out of that before it ever took place.
Amen.
Before Adam and Eve ever did that dirty deed in the Garden of Eden, we were already chosen in Christ.
Amen.
So therefore, we being in him, a reason, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, if he has chosen us to this end, there is a reason for it. And he, if we understand that we are the body of Christ, which we are, now people might say, well, no, that's your local church, that's the body of Christ. No, every elect child of God is the body of Christ.
Amen. Right.
It takes every bit of it to make up that body.
Thank you.
Paul makes this very clear over in the book of 1 Corinthians, and telling, you know, that we got the lesser members and this, that, and the other, but they're all the same.
That's right.
They're all the body of Christ.
That's right.
Now, how does this relate back to the Lord our God is one Lord? Well, if we believe, and we do, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that Jesus Christ is God, and that we are one in Christ, where does that make us?
Right. Yeah.
We are part of Christ.
Amen. That's right.
Now, there's a term that I ran across. I'm not going to try to dazzle you with my brilliance or anything like that, but there's a term that some of you college-educated folks might have heard this word. It's called a fractal. I'd never heard the word before. It's not used very often. And what it simply means is that whatever the whole is, the lesser, every part that goes to make up that whole is just as much of that whole as the whole is. Now, if you are the body of Christ, whatever Christ is, there is that in you.
Yeah, amen.
You are that, whether you like it or whether you admit it, whether you know it or not.
Right.
Now, you know, most people are born with a little thing on their intestines called an appendix. Doctors still don't know what that's for.
Right.
But it's there. It's part of it. Sometimes it gives you trouble and they have to take it out. It doesn't matter what they do with it. They'll study it, and they might mix it up with a thousand others, but if they go and test, it's got DNA in it.
That's right.
And this DNA can identify just exactly where it came from.
Amen.
Right.
You know, law enforcement agencies use this to solve crimes. They get blood stains, and then those blood stains, they'll extract DNA, and that goes right to you. If you're the guilty party, nobody else has got your DNA.
Right.
But that DNA, that little whatever it is just as much a part of you as your big toe is, as
yes.
your head is, or anything else.
That's
it's
right.
you.
Amen.
Now, I don't know where I'm going to go with this. Bear with me. Let's go on over in this first chapter of Ephesians a little bit later, a little bit further. kind of hard to find a place to begin. Paul's, not you, Brother Paul, but the Apostle Paul. My English teacher, when I was in school, would never have allowed run-on sentences like he did. But he was writing in Greek, and I was writing in what passed for English. But the way the Apostle Paul wrote, you know, he was going to have these commas and these semicolons and colons and all these things, and he just kept going on with it's the same thought.
Right.
Continuing on, whatever Paul was writing,
Amen.
He didn't switch horses in midstream and start talking about something else.
Right.
So when you go through this first chapter of the book of Ephesians, you'll find that it's the same thought all the way through.
Yeah, right.
We have election there. We have predestination there. Predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself and for the good pleasure of his will. And his will is behind all this.
Yes,
and this
sir.
Is where we ourselves need to recognize our relationship with God and how we pray to him and how we recognize him and how we recognize him as our Father. My Father, my earthly father, was L.R.E.B. Watts. If you could go and, you know, had the desire to do so, we could go to a little cemetery there in Douglas, Alabama, and exhume his body, get a DNA sample, and guess what? My DNA would match his. They'd know who I was. So we have this relationship with God that whatever is seen in us, I'm talking spiritual things. I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not talking, you know, blood and guts and things like that. Just spiritual things. Hey, there'd be something in us that would tie us back to Christ.
Right.
And the preaching of the gospel has nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
If it does, there's been untold millions never heard the gospel, never be able to lay their lineage back to Christ, but it's still there.
Right.
Why? Because the Lord our God is one Lord.
Amen.
Before Abraham was, I am.
Right.
You know, whatever Jesus claimed to be his relationship to God, we've got the same relationship to him.
Yes.
So it comes on down. By the way, we're the last generation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the sons of God, the book of Hebrews, I believe it is, plainly states that for this cause he is not ashamed to call us brethren.
Right.
That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And all we many brethren have the same constitutional makeup as he himself has. Not had, but has. Now, this 15th verse. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. I'm going to stop right there and deviate just a little bit. Something was mentioned about hope recently. I don't remember if it was here or we were discussing it or whatever. But hope is not a fond wish.
Amen.
Nothing like that. If I had somebody tell me not long ago, says, well, the only thing that I see wrong with you is you just got a little hope. I said, I got hope. You know, not little, not big. It's
right.
Hope. It's what it is.
Yeah, amen.
And hope is not, it's been called an expectation, but it's an expectation and a full assurance of what is already done.
Amen.
Not what's going to be done, but what's there. What's finished, what's done, and that's where I'm going. I've got no doubt about that. And if you say, preacher, you think this because you're up there all high and mighty and holy and all that, that's why you're going. No, that's not it.
No.
The reason I know that is because I have something in me that bears witness that I am a son of God.
Amen.
Well, Jesus Christ is the son of God. Yes, he is. He is the son. I am a son.
Right. Yeah.
And I am just as much a son as he is the son.
Amen.
Right. It's all comes right down to that what God did in Christ before the foundation of the world. It goes right back to that. Because he, in a legal sense, in a spiritual sense, however you want to put it, he put my name in Christ. Now, I don't know if the name is Kenneth Watts or some other name, but I just know that I'm there.
Yes.
And right. If I'm in him and he is in God, then, you know, where does that leave the rest of us? Same boat.
That's right.
You are no better or no worse than anybody else.
Right.
We have, and we were discussing this a little bit this morning, that Brother Joe's, we have had folks that had a tendency to look down on these Methodists down there. So they don't have anything going anymore. Or these over here, they're just so wrong. They think they're so high and mighty, or this, that, or the other. We're all one in Christ.
Amen.
Now, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know, and say yes, as that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Here we come in again. This inheritance that we have is what Christ wrought for us. He assured that inheritance. Now, there's one thing that you can't do. You can't be cut out of his will.
Right.
I am the Lord. I change not.
That's right.
Now, that which is perfect cannot be perished. It can't perish. It can't be destroyed. It can't be done away with. And I read somewhere not too long ago about that. It said, if it's perfect, if it's eternal, It can't be destroyed. If it is not eternal, it must be destroyed.
That's right.
Amen.
Now that's why these bodies have to go down. These bodies are not eternal.
Right.
These bodies are timely creatures. They're corrupt. They're given to corruption. And by the way, if you ever get a chance, study the depth of that Greek word corruption, or the word for that. I'm not going to go into it. It gets a little nasty sometimes.
Yeah.
Because if you've ever been around a dead body, and I'm sure that some of you have, but that's not a pleasant thought, this word corruption. But anyway, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, given him the name that is above every name.
That's right.
And you are in that name.
Amen. Yep.
Now, if you think you've got a lowly name here on earth, count it a blessing.
That's right.
If the marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you.
Right.
And Jesus told his disciples, says, don't worry, the world's going to hate you. It hated me before it hated you.
Right.
So don't worry about that. Our names are written in heaven. Our names are in Christ, and Christ is eternal, and Christ is in God, and Christ is with God, and we are in him.
Amen.
We're not waiting to get in him.
That's
we
right.
are in him. Now, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And I want to go a little bit further in Ephesians just before I close. And I hope you'll be able to make a connection between what I have said and what the Apostle Paul is writing to the church here, church at Ephesus. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. I'm not going to go into all the feminism and stuff like that. That's beyond the scope of this, and it's irrelevant anyway. For the husband is the head of the wife. Now, what did Paul just say over there? And if he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Now, if he is the husband, is the head of the wife, that means that Christ, and he goes on, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body.
Right.
The Savior of the body. He didn't save the little toe.
No.
Or the little pinky finger. Or even the torso. And all the organs contained in it, he saved the whole body.
Amen.
Why? Because it's complete. So we are complete in him. And if we are complete in him, then there is something going on here that goes all the way back to the Lord our God is one Lord. Now, I hope I'll get to that. Now, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Why did he do this? Because it's his body.
Amen.
Yeah. It's, you know,
amen.
We go through this life doing everything we can to preserve our bodies.
That's right.
You know, we fail. Every time you have a surgery and they take something out, you lost something. But Christ doesn't have, we don't have to go through surgery in that sense for Christ to be the Savior of the body.
Amen.
Keep all the body together. We don't need operating on.
That's right.
If we need operating on, he'll do the operating. By the way, he did. He took out our hard and stony heart and put in there our heart of flesh.
Amen.
So that's the only surgery we've ever needed. But he performed it. Now, that husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it with the washing of water by the word. And by the way, that's not the gospel.
Right.
We're not sanctified by the gospel. We're sanctified by the blood of Christ. And that's the, you know, we're to sanctify ourselves, set ourselves apart from the world. But he sanctified us in this fullness of sense that we have been made pure in him. We've been made perfect in him.
Yes.
Can't be it on our own. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's how we are in him, holy and without blemish, because he cleaned us up and he presented us to himself that we might be the body of Christ, because we are the body of Christ. Now, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. I want you to apply that to Christ and the church.
Yes, sir.
The reason he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God.
Right.
So if we were to love our neighbor as ourselves, then he fulfilled that in that he loved his church even as he loved himself.
Yeah.
I can't explain that. I cannot explain that love, that depth of love that he has for us, but he has that same love for himself.
Yes.
You know, he didn't go down on the cross because, well, I'm such a miserable failure. I just hate myself. I'm going to go out here, turn myself over to the Romans and let them do what they want to with me. No, he didn't. That's not the way it went. It doesn't work that way. No man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. So the church is, in this sense, the flesh of Christ, the flesh of the body of Christ. So, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Now, he goes back and quotes over in Genesis, where Adam saw his wife Eve, and this is a statement that he makes, and he says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife," which is what Christ did when he died on the cross. When he arose from the dead, he joined himself to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. The Lord our God is one Lord. His Son Jesus Christ is the Lord from heaven.
Right.
And we are flesh of his flesh, bone of his bones, flesh of his flesh, and whatever he is, we are. But we've got to look back to where he came from, which is, and I'm talking about where we derive him from, is from that one Lord. And we are in him. That makes us holy and without blame before him in love, because he says they two shall be one flesh. Now, he's not talking about natural, physical things. He's talking about this body of Christ being one with Christ.
That's right.
I don't mean just an adjunct to it. Something here off the side, like I've got a great house and got a little workshop out here, and that's part of my house. No. This house is all him. And we are in him, so we, in effect, are him.
Right.
You know, we are the church. We are the body of Christ.
Yes.
And I don't care what I think of the parts of my body. It's still part of me.
Amen.
And now it doesn't matter what we think that Christ is and his relationship to the church, which is us. We're still him. That's us in him. But now, let me go on. I'm going to close this. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. I said I was going to stop with that, but I mentioned about the book of Mark. I'm going to go back and read that. Just a couple of verses, and then I promise you I'm going to close. There's not another lying preacher. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" We have always said, and you know, rightly so, what's the one great commandment? "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God." But he says the first commandment of all is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." That's the first commandment.
Right. Yeah.
"Hear, O Israel." That's what I want the church to do. is to hear what this word of the Lord is. The Lord thy God is one Lord. And it doesn't say, don't have the therefore here, but it does back over in the book of Deuteronomy, I believe. He says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. All of it. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. But the greatest first one is, the Lord our God is one Lord. That's a commandment.
Amen.
That's what you are to believe, it's what you are to understand, and it's how you're supposed to live. Pray for me when you have a man.
Amen. Amen. If you will, tell the Kevin Moth and comes forward, stand and sing two verses, 398. 398. Children of the